Thanks for listening to season 4 of the Utah Real Estate Podcast.
The most downloaded series in the whole state and possibly the world.
Hello, I'm Steph Scholl here with the one and only Silver Dollar Man.
Also known as Scott Stevenson. This year, we're consulting with community leaders about the future of the Beehive State.
And how you can best secure a house for your home.
Join the thousands.
And my mom.
That subscribe every Thursday for the most exciting hour of the week.
Scott, I've been looking forward to this little mini series that we're doing for a long time.
I know you have.
We have the opportunity to interview the builders for the Salt Lake Parade of Homes.
Yay!
Yeah.
Right on.
And to start this series out, we have the director of the Parade of Homes, Lindy Davis. Lindy, say hi so they know your voice.
Hello.
And then right by her, we have Jaron Davis, who's the executive director of the Salt Lake Home Builders Association. So powerhouse at this table.
If you can see me, I was doing my bow move before, right? Bowing down to them. They graciously accepted, right?
Was that a bow move or a bow move?
I'm not quite sure.
That southern drawl kind of put an L on the end. I did my bow move.
Yes.
You know it's going to be a good episode when there's some potty humor.
That's right.
Jaron, you were here last year.
Yeah.
Should we start with maybe a recap of last year?
So last year was our most successful Parade of Home in 75 years.
That's what I was going to ask. Mm-hmm. Last year was.
Yes. And we will suggest to you that that is because Lindy was the first person in that history that brought in the social media aspect, which meant she called influencers. And it's not like somebody had 10,000 followers. It's people with million plus followers. So she'd contact them and in a very sweet way, with no fear, would say to them, if I give you some free Parade of Homes tickets, will you promote our parade? And they did cartwheels to do it. She's not, she won't self-promote on that. So
from an
executive officer standpoint, somebody that's capable of leading charge to run a Parade of Homes event would be an extraordinarily rare individual, because that skill set has to be organized, dedicated, a top salesperson, and then willing to be able to make hard decisions with professionals that have a great deal of experience and time in the industry. The benefit that Lindy brings in addition to those attributes is that she has the youth in the social media presentation.
Lindy, have you ever thought about working in the title industry?
That natural ability is rare, as we know. But when it exists and then it's placed in front of an event that has that rich history, it multiplies on itself. And so Lindy, as a result of that first year's success, has had a lot of job offers and opportunities, which will only grow, because this year technically should have been a really bad year, because the building market is extraordinarily difficult right now. We went from fear of having
no inventory,
single-digit homes,
yeah,
to Lindy going out and beating the bush, driving out to different homes and saying, we need you in the parade, to them having to them saying yes. So she single-handedly doubled our opportunity by just being aggressive enough in her confidence to go out and say, here's the benefits of being in the parade. Some rejections, you know, not everyone can buy off on that. There's some owners that just don't want the public in their home.
Yeah.
So Lindy is a rare talent.
This is why I love having two people come to interview, because Lindy, you weren't going to brag on yourself, right? But Jaron's like, no, this is what you did. And your guys' Instagram is impressive. Like,
thank you.
So that's cool that you did that and built up your Instagram and everything, and that you went out to these houses. Because as we've been interviewing people, I'm grateful to have these houses that we can go look through.
I've been actually really interested in all these homes.
And so thank you for going and asking these builders to be in it, because it's a cool opportunity for the public.
I always thought, I want to see that big home, but why is that our only draw?
Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in what I can take home to my personal home. And that was always kind of my vision of, let's do this for everybody, so everybody can kind of bring their own little piece from the parade.
Yeah. How do you decide which homes?
Yeah, I mean, why isn't mine on there? I mean, yeah.
And I won't say why we won't put Scott's in. But let's say somebody likes Scott.
Yeah.
We pride ourselves as an association, a member-driven association, that membership is elective, to have the best craftsmen building high quality, energy efficient. We can keep naming safety, mm-hmm. you know, all the features. And so you can't put a home in our parade if you're not a member of our association. You can't become a member of our association without applying and agreeing to adhering to a standard that is above the standards that are set in our licensing law here in the state of Utah. Mm-hmm. So what you'll find as you go through these homes is that you're working with the best of the best in a group of people that have chosen to advocate for community by being a member of an association that does foster new ideas, technologies, and events that allow us to build housing. And right now, we'll probably get into it, but affordability is key. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have a home builders association advocating for housing, affordability would be out unbelievably high right now. Even though it feels like it's unattainable, it would be unbelievably high if we didn't have a group that advocated for.
Now, why would that be?
Because there's a lot of times when people react to market conditions, they do so without the unintended consequences being known. And what a builder association does is it goes in there and it identifies what those might be to protect against just this continual push towards building something where people can't afford. And so we're that check with the common ambition and goal of having efficiency and quality, all those types of things, but with an eye towards what the consumer wants, not what is the ideal in a chalk and blackboard world that has never been part of our community.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Total.
Okay, so I sort of want to go back a little bit. And so, Lindy, you said that this is your second parade?
Yes, I started in 2021.
Okay, so the Parade of Homes seems really daunting to put together.
Sleepless nights, okay, for sure. Yes. So we have about 20 volunteers on our Parade of Homes committee that meet monthly to set this Parade of Homes up. And the parade is a lot of work on me as the director, but they need the big shout out because without them, I wouldn't be able to do the Parade of Homes. And it's all on their own time, volunteers. So I super appreciate them. And I lose sleep at night, but I would not be able to survive without them. They are a ton of help.
And they're just giving up their time.
They are.
Yeah. And are these people from the industry itself? Like who? Like, I don't necessarily need names, but just like.
We have builders, mortgage people, marketing, trades. So it's a little bit of every part of our association, but everyone that's in the building industry. So they all know what's going on and they all have their own niches, but all different.
And then you were saying from there's subcommittees?
Yes. So we do like VIP night, realtor day. So each volunteer is in charge of their own committee. And so they help me and they kind of sometimes take on the roles by themselves.
And how big are the subcommittees?
The subcommittees, it's just, do you mean like people?
Yeah.
There's usually only like one or two per subcommittees.
Oh, okay. And then they put on these other events.
Yeah.
And then how do people become a sponsor? Because I always see that on the back of the tickets, like, thank you to our sponsors.
We're really lucky. We have great partnerships with our sponsors that have been with us. AMSCO's been with us for like 14 years. We love our partnership with them. Mountain America is one of our best partners.
You have to do the publicity. You have to get the sponsors. You have to like organize with all the builders.
You got
to
get a great podcast team.
Right?
Exactly. That was tough.
So, I mean, tell us a little bit about that organization that goes behind it. And
organizing it really does start for 2023. We're already preparing.
Really?
We're looking for builders and getting in contact with them. But the real craziness starts in February. that's when you're starting to get the magazine deadlines, all the details. But really, all of the builders in Salt Lake are the nicest people ever, and I love working with them. So they make it fun. Like last year, it just felt so cool to be young and have it come all together. Because as of right now, we're a month away and you think, holy cow, this isn't going to come together. I have so much to do. But the day that it opens and you start seeing people share on social media and you hear comments, it's just one of the best feelings and most rewarding jobs.
That's awesome.
Now, is there like a board that, applications come in, I'm assuming. Is that right?
Yes.
Applications come in. Is there like a board that is formed that makes the decision on who's going to be in it and who's not? And I know we talked, the last time we talked, you try to stay within a certain number, I know.
Yes.
So is that around 20 or less?
So we have a group of volunteers that come in, and it's called the Salt Lake Parade Committee.
Oh, huh?
But we meet each month, all 12 months of the year, and are working towards the parade. But they're all volunteers, and people will submit an application to be in the parade, and we'll take it to that committee and group, look over it, review it, and accept it. And that's kind of our process.
Oh, super.
Okay, and a follow-up for that, because yes. My friend Cammie before this was like, how do I become part of that committee?
Yes.
So do you guys have openings? Is there a waiting list?
We do it by year. Mm-hmm. So after the parade is over, then it's the new like 2023 year, 2024 year of committee members. Mm-hmm. So we open it up every year after the parade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. So people should look for that at the end of August then.
Yes. And that's, if you're a member of the association, you'll know about that, but we do it through the membership.
So you have to be a member to be on the...
Yep.
Oh, another great reason to become a member. And do you have to be a builder to become a member? Can an everyday person that loves housing become a member?
We have three levels of membership.
Okay.
A builder member who's a general contractor by license in the state. An associate member who is any person that isn't a builder member. And about a third of our membership is builders and two-thirds are associate. And then under each category, that individual can elect to have an affiliate membership, which is somebody that from their company that affiliates with the association. So we have a builder member and an associate member, then under both, they're affiliate members. So for example, you join the association as an associate member, and then you can put Scott on as an affiliate member. Hmm. The affiliate member is a lower cost, but has the same rights and opportunities.
Okay.
The Parade of Homes is actually what we define in a nonprofit association or non-dues revenue. And so a dues revenue would be that what we charge to a member for being a part of the association. And they pay that willingly, and they actually make contributions as well. But the non-dues revenue are those revenues that we receive outside of those monies. Without our sponsors like Mountain America Credit Union, who's our title sponsor, we wouldn't survive as an association. What happens in their sponsorship is that they know that we are advocating for an industry that they're part of and they want to see succeed. So they have intrinsic value in contributing those dollars to the association. But what our job is as an association is to see that those contributions are met in excess with the benefit they receive from the public exposure. And so we put out 24,000 magazines, and we do advertising, and we have tickets and different places in our social media, whatever it is, where we can put their logos to identify them as supporters of the industry. And we do that willingly. And we've been told time and time again, we would do it for the intrinsic value, but bless you for making it noteworthy to our responsibility side to the organization that makes monetary sense as well. It is our sponsorships are popular enough that when a sponsor signs up, they ask for exclusivity for a period of time beyond that year that they contribute. Another great partner who is also an industry advocate with us is the Salt Lake Board of Realtors. And so you think of those associations uniting together, the Salt Lake Home Builders Association, the Salt Lake Board of Realtors, and even others. When we unite together in a common cause, which is housing, home ownership, affordability. We could go on and on. We've accomplished a great deal together, but we have tremendous success with our sponsorships. And if we led the nation in coming out with the first parade, we also lead the nation in our ability to partner with our sponsors in having a mutually beneficial presentation to the public of what it is that we're doing for community.
I didn't know that you guys partner with the Salt Lake Board of Realtors. What are the things that you guys are doing to advocate for that?
Well, thank you for asking. I actually am a lifetime realtor. I've spent a great deal of time on the volunteer side, not the staff side, in that organization, holding a variety of different leadership roles, which included national positions. I was hired by the Salt Lake Home Builders Association to build that relationship.
Because we
advocate together. The realtors have a richer history in success with that, with a mightier PAC support. And so we took our side of that advocacy and joined that together. And so we've had probably 5 years in the last three. It just keeps getting stronger. We actually are moving our headquarters to the realtor building. It's become that strong where we're advocating together. But let me give you some examples. What the public doesn't know is that housing is affected on all three levels of government. The local level, which are the cities, the county, small municipals, any place where there's a local decision that's made. On the state level through the legislature, and then on the national level through Congress. Each one of those elected official positions can affect housing. And again, it's sometimes by unintended consequences that legislation becomes detrimental to our affordability or our ability to meet the market demand. And so on the local level, it typically is land use, where we go in and talk to them about the buyer's interest in the market versus what the communities think that their new residents want, and matching those two together so that we can meet the demand of the marketplace and not necessarily the ideals of what the elected officials think might exist. An example about that, and the negative term that's used, is not in my backyard. Those groups that really hammer social media and get out just in groups of appearing to be larger than they are. We know by representative numbers that it's a very small portion of the population, but they get out with a loud voice and try to influence those elected officials. And so we try to go in and show the practical side of land use decisions to meet that market demand. An example would be, you don't really have a healthy community if it's all half acre lots, all brick homes, unaffordable. And you don't have a healthy community if it's just rentals. The healthy community allows everyone, from a renter, whether you're new to the housing market or an empty nester, all the way through to that luxury housing and everything in between. Because what happens is when that group commingles, then the health of each of those crossovers is
sure. You got to have a little bit of money for the guy who's at the drugstore, who's on the counter, and you know, all those kinds of crosses.
Well, and even beyond that, think of what the youth are learning from the more mature in the population, or what the more mature in the population want to do for the lifestyles of those youngers. And so what happens when we're commingling, it isn't us against them, it's us. And so that is found to be very beneficial. And then in addition to that, the workforce that then moves into the entertainment or the retail or any of the other aspects of community is then helpful, healthy and diverse too. So that mindset is best accomplished when we can go in there and kind of educate against the not in my backyarders to what a healthy community is. And there's the other aspects to that. It's the impact fees that are charged. It's the inspections. So any delay in the housing, it's the different codes that are asked to be a part of in terms of that. But we advocate there. The legislature has a great deal of influence and impact, and Congress has a great deal of impact. The state legislature more on state issues, the national level on different issues that oftentimes come down through the EPA and other aspects where they, you know, they extend the waters of the U.S. and different things where it's so different. Think of our country. You know, Utah, they realize, is out west somewhere. a lot of times described as a flyover state. Mm-hmm. And things are different back east, for example, you know, when densities are higher and water's more abundant. Or
you're speaking Scots language.
Yeah. So, well, you know, from Maryland,
yeah.
It's totally different.
It is.
And so it's hard for that Congress to understand oftentimes what's happening in the West, as it is for us in the West to understand mm-hmm. the East. We don't have the same commuter opportunities mm-hmm. that exist in the larger metropolitan areas. But so we advocate to kind of share those same ideals in those different levels where we can ensure that housing becomes something that is acceptable. But it's not just housing. We advocate for the community to appreciate and understand the outdoors, clean air, transportation. So we get into this broad swath of opportunity that, again, is just oriented towards housing and the community. Where we share commonality with the realtors is that they advocate for the very same thing. They might be more oriented towards a commission-based sales force and some things like that individually, where we're more oriented towards the construction side. So maybe our licensing and some specific aspects are different, but generally speaking, those things that we advocate for are global and expanding, and our unity in that is significant. So in us moving to the realtor building, we'll be there with the apartment association, which advocates for the same with the realtors and with us. And we hope that other organizations would find benefit in coming and associating there. But we have a beautiful relationship with the Salt Lake Board of Realtors, and you know, Steve Perry mm-hmm. and the president, and Curtis Bullock, mm-hmm. the executive officer, they're bending over backwards to help us. And it's seen an example in our last board of directors meeting, which was held in the Salt Lake Board of Realtors. We joined forces in some things that we have been advocating together collectively and didn't know that we were doing them independently, and we'll now join forces in those. And so when we're able to continue those growths together, mm-hmm. We'll be able to be more effective.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to all these homes. This is a great parade, by the way.
Thank you.
Good job,
yeah.
Wendy.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great job.
Yeah. Hearing a lot of builders are partnering with mortgage companies and offering that they can lock people's rates or stuff. What have you seen that builders are doing? Because I think sometimes people think it's sketchy, but like they're like, oh, it's too good to be true.
Let me try and answer that in a very unique way. So right now, the marketplace is experiencing an event where the media likes to portray what they perceive as where the market is leading, and their lack of real understanding or in-depth research has them give headlines, which is oftentimes all that's read, or the first paragraph that really is taking the public to a place that it shouldn't go at this time. And I'll give you an example. Our inventory levels have been so low that they're historic in nature. And they're so low that they are what caused the inflation of housing to actually become unaffordable. Having a 26% appreciation is unbelievable, unsustainable, and unfair to the buyer. So that environment is very difficult. But when we have 0.6 months, so you know, half of a month of inventory, meaning that if we stop building, our inventory would all sell out in a half a month,
period.
20 days. And that goes from 0.6 to 0.9. And the media says that it doubled and puts out the headlines, the inventory's doubled and blah, 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 blah. And so if you're a consumer, you think, oh my gosh, inventory's doubled, housing bubble, things are going to fall apart. Let's not list our property and sell. Let's not buy right now. And so they get into this mode where the fear-mongering becomes mm-hmm. reality, because people are self-fulfilling prophecies, when in reality what it did is it went from an unhealthy condition to a more healthy condition, but it's still unhealthy.
Yeah.
We still have an inventory that is deficient. The opportunity, should every buyer have a place to buy and live. What's happening while that occurs is that we're paying unbelievable amounts for gas and food prices are going up, and we're talking about inflation. And then we've got all the chaos from the judicial decisions and mm-hmm. just, you know, the infighting that's going on social media and stuff like that. So think of your life in chaos right now outside of housing, and then add to that that interest rates went from 3 to 5%, or that housing had gone up, or any part of that. Well, who in their right mind doesn't just sit back and pause and say, gosh, let's kind of wait and see what happens? But when you add to that the fuel of media misportraying what's happening in the market, it becomes pretty detrimental. So let me tell you that we're still unable to meet demand, that housing is still very difficult to catch up to the amount of supply that's done. We're trying to find best ways to be able to do that. Supply chains are still short. Labor is still short. Prices we're unable to lock in on prices. So there's a lot of difficulty while the interest rates are going. So we're doing everything in our power, but we don't need people pushing back against us. What will things look like in the future? Well, if you look to any reasonable economist, they're suggesting that there's a recession coming, that it'll be mild, that it'll be necessary, and that we'll get out of it. But here's the healthy side to the housing. If we just continue our momentum and don't get stuck in this rut that we can be forced into, then we can come out of that on the other side. Because the other thing economists are saying is that the housing prices won't be going down. They're still anticipating appreciation at a healthier rate. A good healthy rate, if we go back in time in real estate, is that real estate's appreciating 5 to 7% a year.
Yeah,
it can be as low as 3.
Right.
In Utah, it really never went down. You know, all real estate is local. The only time housing went down on a national level is after the Great Recession.
Right.
So that's historic.
Yes.
And we're not anywhere near anything like that. So it's still a good time to buy, because the Feds are going to raise the interest rate again. But those of us that have been around a little while, a 5%, a 6%, it's still a good rate. So
fabulous.
What we need to do is work towards having that labor base in terms of the salaries catch up and you know, bring those inflated costs back down to something reasonable and just kind of equalize that, and then just keep going. Because our in-migration is going to continue. We're on the world map. It's a popular place to live for a lot of reasons, and the reason that we call Utah home. But there's the word is out, and the best way to deal with that is to work together, not against each other, as the media oftentimes forces us to do.
I love it. If there was any part of this podcast that I would love people to listen to, it's the last 10 minutes right here. And all of your advice, this is from a man. You have some wisdom, don't you?
He's full of it.
Well, it depends
for sure
on who you ask.
I mean, well,
a prophet is never
in their own country, right?
So if I go home, I'm the lowest guy on the top.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know that feeling. But in listening to you here, I mean, it just makes total sense, and it's common sense, and it's historical more than anything else. So, you know, you hear people with the Chicken Little skies falling, and every time I hear it, I go, where's that coming from? And I think you're right. It comes a lot from our media that doesn't really know the kind of things that you've been talking about.
Right. And it's not that hasn't affected the market, because in that cautious mode where everyone is just sitting back and waiting, the activity on the buying side, whether it's existing housing or new, has really stopped. And you know that as a title company.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really stopped, but it's temporary while we kind of sit back and find our own truth. But to answer your question sincerely, I've been doing this since 1986, and it is my passion. I love real estate and always have. I was just fortunate in my youth to find a profession that I really do love. And so it's something that I monitor. It's something that I care about. It's something that I have massive experience in, not just locally, but on the state and the national level, just in my engagement, because I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I've served in national positions and had a chance to sit down and talk with the FHFA about the market back when we went into the Great Recession and how to get out of it and thoughtful ways in which we would be able to get housing back stabilized.
Well, and for me, the reason that I wanted to ask you that question is because I see so many of my peers that are first-time homebuyers, and we weren't paying attention to the market before, even the Great Recession. Yeah, that sucked, but I didn't have a mortgage. Like, I wasn't paying attention. Like,
were you born?
Yeah. But I was just getting out of college and I didn't have any expenses. And, you know, and now it's like everyone's freaking out because you have a lot more to lose. And so I love hearing from people that have been in the industry, the knowledge that you bring of talking about how we still have to catch up, that there's mm-hmm. such a high demand, because it puts that peace of mind of, oh, of course, Utah still is a great place. And it's okay to sit back and pause.
There's two aspects there that are kind of important to note. We have multi-generational housing almost out of need at this point, where if you're a millennial or in that age group, maybe even down, and witnessed your parents going through the Great Recession, that's a scar on your memory. So that when you finally reach the point where you are a responsible adult, ready to make that home buying decision, you have that memory of the difficulty of having gone through that recession. And so it's unusual because it's a large body of people, the largest generation of American history, that have that life experience, that are now having maybe the first time, because I don't know what baby boomers and other generations mm-hmm. might have had in relation to that. My grandparents in the Depression,
yeah.
But outside of that, so they're people stayed at home longer and lived with their parents or you know, cohabitated in a rental unit, whatever. But that in interviewing that population, they're wanting to own. And so it's just getting to that level of comfort. And this is another kind of one of those hiccups that just reminds them, by the way, your childhood was ugly, but here's one more little reminder right before you pull the trigger and sign your name on the purchase agreement, you know? So it's a battle, but be comforted to know as you look back, the one asset that has enabled us as a society to enjoy generational wealth, it's housing. You will grow in wealth by owning your home, because regardless of how quickly it appreciates, you have the mortgage being paid down by your payment that doesn't occur as you rent. And then in times of need, you have the ability to draw on that equity for a medical need, a college tuition for a kid or whatever. The comfort that exists in society when we as citizens have home ownership rises the level of everyone in that consumer confidence. And so every generation will find that place in life where you just pulled, and maybe Lindy could share, because she's a new homeowner. She closed.
Congrats. Thank you.
She closed in November. But the difference in feeling from going from a renter to a homeowner, you know, the pride of ownership and all those kinds of things, because, you know, that might be a fun thing to kind of introduce, just having gone through that.
I will say the media does give me a stomach ache since I'm a new homeowner. Like, it's going to crash soon. Something bad's going to happen. But buying my first home, exactly like you said, it's just, it makes you, I'm very proud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you said earlier, when you have people come over, you didn't build it, but you have that part of it, and you have... I'm proud of it, and I love showing it off. And
well, and I feel like anytime that media gives you that stomachache, you can just talk to Jared.
Exactly.
And he'll calm that down. Anyone should listen to this.
He definitely did.
Well, you know,
did.
The interesting thing about that is you're a new homeowner, but I remember when I first got my new home many, many, many years ago. And the fact is that the experience is still a monumental experience in my life. And I think it is for almost anyone, is that when the first time you become a homeowner is the first time you feel like you have finally reached the American dream. You know, I mean, really, really, you feel part of the social structure rather than a drag. You feel like, hey, I'm the man, or I'm the woman,
totally.
And I'm a part of this great country. And that's what I think the housing industry does for America too. It's giving, I think, pride and of ownership of being part of America, the United States of America. This great country is built on the home ownership.
Right. And Scott, to add to that, what study has proved that when you own a home, you're more likely to contribute to charity. You're more engaged in the education system. You're more likely to go to church. You're more likely to engage civilly, which means voting and things like that. So you do have pride in country, but you have pride in community because you went from a transient mindset to a permanent yes. mindset. And when your roots go down, you care about the things. You yes. care about yeah. the value totally of the real agree. Estate and, mm-hmm. and how you can enhance that and be a part of it. And so it really is the fabric. And honestly, if you look back, the lords and the serfs,
yeah.
our founding fathers said, the way we do away with that is ownership.
Yeah.
And so we are going home to our own castles, to our own ownership, and we have freedom protected because we don't have a lord telling the serfs what to do. We are the lords of our own domain, and it's what allows America to be such a beautiful country to live in.
Can't say anything any better than that.
It's true. I care about the bike lane they put in that took away the parking. So, you know, and then I want to get involved and go to the meeting. So as you're talking about that, I'm like, yeah, preach. It's so true. So in shifting, so before we wrap up, so we want to ask more about the parade. Well, you said.
I'll give you an example of something that's unusual. Yeah. When we talk about the diversity of what we have in it, in the 76 years that we've done the parade at home, I bet you there was never a rental put in the Parade of Homes.
Like the one that Kristen's doing for the basement?
Nope.
Oh, this is an
apartment. It's a penthouse.
Do you want to talk about that?
You're really good at talking about it.
What you're talking about is an ancillary dwelling unit.
Yeah.
The term is ADUs.
Yeah.
And they're essential to our community because you can double the housing population in just having an accessory dwelling unit. So Kristen's is that.
Okay.
And it's multi-generation. So parents can move in uh-huh. or your children in between, whatever. So those are important. But this rental, we have a movement towards downtown Salt Lake again. So that movement isn't all homeowners. It's oftentimes renters because sometimes large metropolitan areas have a transient group of people because whether the university or employment for a short period of time, whatever. This is a 22-story building just south of the Harmons in the City Creek
that is
called Liberty Sky.
Okay.
And if you've ever stayed at a Four Seasons, it'd be like living in a Four Seasons. Mm-hmm. When you walk in, there's a grand entrance, a gathering area, an extraordinary gym, a rooftop swimming pool, barbecue area. And I could go on and on with the amenities that exist there, but now walk inside the unit. You've got a floor-to-ceiling window with views either down State Street, up State Street, out west of the lake, or up east of the mountains that are just breathtaking. So the attributes of this are extraordinary. And we felt that it was such a unique property. I mean, it really is a Manhattan-type project. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was so extraordinary that Daniel Lofgren of Cowboy Partners was very generous to offer that in putting that in our parade this year. And that is worth your $20 ticket purchase by itself.
So is that virtual or can you go to it?
You actually get to go.
Oh, so, okay, this year parade is a little, because you have some in Tooele, mm-hmm. you have some downtown. So, Lindy, it's a little bit, you did a good job of getting a diverse neighborhood.
A little bit of country and a little bit of rock and roll.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we went and viewed this apartment building and I had to stand like 2 feet away from the window because they're the floor-to-ceiling windows, so it's kind of a little intimidating.
Man.
Those heights are...
Now, is there somebody in there now? Or is that being...
forgive me for not remembering how many units they have in 22 stories, but it's probably 60 to 70% full.
So people want in the building, there's still
opportunity.
Okay. There's still opportunity.
They held one out for us for the Parade of Homes. Should it have reached full occupancy because the demand is really high, as you know.
Is it new?
It's brand new.
Scott's getting excited.
You'll be the first to walk through the door and live there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That, I mean, and thinking of, you know, like the New York skyline and right here in Salt Lake.
You can walk to Harmon's and get your groceries.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I can get my...
Don't tell me that.
I get my Diet Dr. Pepper right there. Yeah. It's on the rocks.
You know, Scott, you know how you didn't want your wife to come back and have you do any work?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you my wife's story. I wanted to do that. I told Kim, because the towers that are in City Creek,
yeah,
residential towers.
Yeah.
I said, honey, we're going to move down there. I could walk to the jazz game, to the symphony, to,
oh, yeah.
to work, to, yeah. to the metro, to what do we call it? Tracks, you know, Harmon's, whatever. Mm-hmm. I said, the gym's in the building,
yeah.
just on and on and on. She goes, we're not doing it. I'm thinking, you're right. I don't have a vault, but there's, you know, it's,
yeah.
you have to live there. You, when you go there, Scott, yeah. you'll say, honey, let's just do it.
Yeah. I can imagine that because I actually probably really would like that. And my wife might actually be one who would like that because she's got more of a city girl.
And there's fountains below, Scott.
Oh, water. Oh,
okay. Isn't it by water, like.
Does it have waters below it?
Or am I thinking the City Creek ones? Is this by City Creek?
Yes.
Okay. So
trout, water.
Yeah. So there's fountains at City Creek.
Yeah.
Are you a water fanatic too?
Well, it's not I'm a fanatic. It's just, you know, yeah, I was born and raised in Maryland. Yeah. So there's water all over. Plus it drains a ton. And I had a creek that ran in the front of my property all the way across. And when it rained, it was like, tons of water came. It was just gorgeous. And so, you know, moving here has been a little bit of a different experience.
There's water.
But would that be a thing that grandkids can visit?
You're now talking like my wife.
She said, exactly. Well, honey,
I haven't come up with an answer for that.
Yeah.
So my wife, where are the grandkids going to play?
I mean, it might be a bonus for Scott because grandkids, it's too nice for them to visit.
Yeah, right.
Where are they going to park?
Maybe I'll just have to.
Kind of thing. Go, honey, that's infrequent enough. We could like go to a park.
Right?
And again, my vote didn't, no matter what percent it is, it's not high enough.
It's not quite enough.
To even have a voice, but I tried and
well, I think that's so cool to see all different lifestyles of from a penthouse skyrise to we interviewed Ed from Davies Design.
What you'll see with Ed's home is they were very thoughtful. There's a pushback against the McMansions. They're able to go into an existing neighborhood on Canyon Rim with beautiful views of the city and build a modern structure that is far bigger than the other homes, but it doesn't look out of place.
Yeah, it doesn't look out of place.
So when you pull up to that, think, oh my gosh, they haven't created this one, you know, temple with all the lights on it.
Right.
They
blended it right into the neighborhood.
But build an asset that's incredible. Yeah. So Cottonwood Heights has one that's similar, just at about 20th East and 67th South. So we have some teardowns and rebuilds. We have some complete remodels. We have the rental to luxury.
I'm really leaving this podcast depressed.
Whatever. Actually, I'm leaving excited for you. I think that you're going to get the penthouse.
Yeah, suite. That penthouse. I'm going to look at that. That's for sure.
Or you can get a studio.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if Dan would care, but the unit we walked in is $4,000 a month rent.
Oh.
Do you even know how much the Silver Dollar Man makes for his autograph?
That's
one autograph.
I get $10,000 a month just for signing, right?
Nothing. So you can sign the door.
But I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for you guys. I will give away my autograph for free to anyone who goes to the Parade of Homes.
Oh. That's cool. You're going to wear out.
So it sounds like with this that there's you have the parade homes, but then you have some model and rental homes, like the penthouse is more of a rental. So tell us a little bit about your method behind all that.
Model homes are in the parade because that certain home is getting sold so quickly, and the homeowners usually don't want their home in the parade. So that's the builder showing off their work. Oh. So you know that you could build that in the future and kind of make your customization to it.
Yeah.
So that's more of like in Daybreak, there's model homes that you can go and see. And they're the newest and greatest and top of their line technology. So you can go into that home and look at different options that you could build personally for yourself.
And the key on the model is that it isn't something that you could have seen before the parade. It might be something you're able to see after the parade, but the requirement we put on the builder is that it can't be something that the public had access to prior to the parade. We want to be fair to the ticket purchaser, that they're not just going to model homes they could see anyway. So there's some unique characteristics that we label it as model so that the public is aware that it could be, but it's not like just something that was open before and after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that makes total sense.
That we've met.
Sure.
The models are usually the top of their line, and the most upgrades, the best technology that they can provide,
because
they want to show that off for you to build that in your home with them.
If you're going to steal an idea, the model home's a great place to have stolen it, because that's likely the most reminiscent of what the public can afford that's going through the parade of homes. So they're probably duplicated and replicated more than any aspect of the other. Yeah, it's just because those custom homes have a lot of features that are just unaffordable.
Yeah.
How many infinity pools can you go home and put in your home?
Right.
You know?
I wish I could have a wave pool in a lazy river. But,
or signed Mickey Mantle, you know, baseballs. Yeah.
That's not really a part of the home, but I wish you the best. Yeah.
Or Mitt. You know.
Then out of left field. I love the look of everybody around the table when I say that. I look at everybody and they look at me like, where does he come up with that? I love the idea of being able to see beautiful homes that are of all different types of rise, square footage, cost-wise, even the rental, which is will be interesting to me. Personally, myself, I find that more appealing. Now, maybe others, they just want to see the big mansions, but I don't mind seeing a few of those. But I like to see things that, you know, I look at and say, you know, maybe I could buy that home.
Yeah, well, and Scott, think of it this way. You've got in our marketplace a very limited segment of our population that knows the housing market. Real estate professionals, realtors might be part of that select group, appraisers. We could name a few. But who in the general public is aware of the different housing products and styles? Envision, for example, an elected official going through and then realizing the diversity in housing and how they may, in their position, be able to advocate for those different styles and price ranges so that that healthy community exists. So there's some unintended consequences from our desires that are catching traction and becoming quite popular.
Yeah, I love that. How many houses are in the parade this year?
Lindy will be able to talk to the specifics, but we have 18 homes and then potentially as many as five right now, three virtual homes that can only be seen online through a locked portal. So 21, 24. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little bit? Because I think that a lot of people don't know about the history of the Salt Lake Parade of Homes and that it was the first one, right? I mean, you talked about it last year. That was the first time I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about that to refresh.
Did people copy off of that? Or was that what people did? Or it's just you're the first one that kicked it off?
We're the first one that kicked it off. And then the leadership of those of that time, of that era, was very generous in suggesting that it was a healthy way to promote what it was that we're doing as an industry to better communities. And so the expansion was welcomed because even if somebody only attends our parade online or attends from outside of our community, we know they're going to go home and advocate for a better community wherever they are.
Yeah.
And let's say that's in a foreign country. We'll bless them, because our ambition is for humankind to have better living conditions. And it really is a product of that, because it is enjoyable to go through, even though you go home a little depressed, like, wow, do I really live here? You know that you can do something that improves where you're living.
Well, I had a real simple question, and I'm sure it might show on the tickets, but for those that might be listening, is there a specific times? I mean, I know there are dates, but is there specific times that the window is for people to go into those homes?
Yes, it's 12 to 9, and then we're closed Sunday and Monday.
Okay, terrific. So as long as they show up before the doors close at 9 o'clock, or are they going to kick everybody out at 9 o'clock?
No, as long as they're at the door at 9 o'clock, they're good to go.
They're good to go. Oh, good.
Don't stay till 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Just walk in quickly.
Seriously.
For those that have ever built something, the greatest satisfaction above even your personal enjoyment is seeing that other people appreciate it. And so those builders that are there in those homes, when you're walking through, they're just happy to show it to you and talk about it. So there's not going to be any limitations as it relates to having a conversation about hows and whys and how much and, you know, those types of things. So we do have to close, because then it would just be perpetual.
Oh, yeah.
But that environment that you're walking into is extraordinarily welcoming because there's self-gratification in saying, yeah, I did build that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, just in a house that we built back east, you know, when people would come over for the first time, anytime anybody comes in and appreciates, and I didn't even build the house, I paid for it, but I didn't build it. But even there, you have some kind of, I don't know, satisfaction that comes with people appreciating good workmanship. And of course, if you're one of those trades that's involved in any of the building of those homes, you take great pride in that. I mean, I know I would.
No. For people that always like a deal, like the Silver Dollar Man.
Yes. Where can I get that ticket?
You can purchase tickets on our website. It's just saltlakeparade.com. And then through our app, which is also just the Salt Lake Parade of Homes. And you also get a $3 off discount for just listening to this podcast.
Whoa!
I know.
That's awesome.
It's just Utah Real Estate Podcast. And you can get $3 off your ticket. But by purchasing a ticket, you also get different discounts and promotions with the sponsorships that we have. You get 50% off site-wide Minky Couture.
Ooh, Scott loves Minky.
I like
it. Well, my wife loves it. I'll tell you, I sleep with a Minky every night.
Yeah, they have like 20 blankets.
Yeah, 40.
I'm addicted to them.
I'm addicted. Well, I'm addicted, but my wife is really addicted.
Have you tried Cozier Sheets?
No, not yet.
Oprah's number one comfiest sheets. 40% off of them also.
Oh.
And then $5 off the Days of 47 Parade with your $20 ticket. 17 if you use the promo code.
Yeah, this feels like a no-brainer. And it's supporting a good cause.
Yeah. Give me 100 tickets right now.
And then I hear that there's a cool thing that you're doing with Mother with diapers.
Yes, we are teaming up with Homemade Utah. They're doing a diaper drive, which they did last year, and they raised 250,000 diapers.
Wow. Whoa.
And so this year, our goal is 500,000. And with that ticket, you'll receive all of the information. But 1 in 3 moms in Utah is in need of diapers for their children.
Wow.
Whoa.
I didn't know that. That's a lot of messy diapers.
Seriously.
You can cut that.
Okay. Well, you guys, we know that you're busy, and thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. Like, this has been so much fun, and you'll see below this episode a few episodes with the parade builders, and it's them talking about each house. And so listen, go support the parade. Go as many times as you want. Get the tickets for your family, your friends. It's going to be a good time.
Steph, one last thing. When you listen to those builders, understand that they're people that have come up through the trades. Right now, we're missing labor force, and we talk about college debt and what people want to do in life. If somebody picks trades as a career choice, they don't have the tuition debt, but they have a livelihood where they can become the owner of their own business, the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well in that. But those individuals that you'll be talking to likely started in a framing company as an apprentice, as a plumber, whatever it is. And they are experienced people that you'll learn a great deal about. One of which is the first female president of our organization.
Yeah.
And the different things that she's been through, because we're mostly a male dominated industry and that's changing. We have professional women in building organizations. So yes, listen to those podcasts, but gain some inspiration from these individuals that have accomplished something that's exceptional that you too can by just understanding that it's possible.
Mic drop. That's a great way to end it.
Yeah. Other than I broke my hand.
Just a plug for all you homeowners out there. Remember that you get to choose your title company.
And here at Title One, there's a reason why there's a one in our title. Learn all about our colossal closings
by going to askusutah.com.
We celebrate with you in securing a house for your home.